I'm going to ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. God, help me carry your message today. Amen. Okay. One thing that we had a birthday for those listening, and he was talking about being aware of his self-centeredness. Somebody else told me that they're aware of their self-centeredness. Being aware of my self-centeredness won't treat it. I have to be aware of God and his power in my life to treat it. Just not wanting to be self-centered isn't good enough, because that's the way we inherently are. Today we're doing That Ain't in the Big Book. I got it from NWARKAA.org, and somebody in the group found this and sent it to me, and I thought it would really be good and fun for us to do. If you don't like it, don't tell me. And it says, that isn't in the big book. We hear a lot of stuff said in meetings that can't be reconciled with the program as described in the big book of AA. And the reason a lot of people don't question it, because a lot of people have never studied the big book, and they don't really know what's in it. So you go to a lot of meetings where people haven't read the big book, and they're telling you things that they hear other people say at the meetings. And then if people say it enough, it's true. Isn't that something? That seems to work in politics. What follows are some of the things we often hear, along with what the first edition says. So the first thing they say is, remember your last drunk. That's a good one. What are you going to, how is that going to help you? It says in the big book, it says on page 24, you don't have to look them all up. We are unable, remember this is the squiggly writing in the big book on page 24. We are unable at times to bring into my consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. So what does remember your last drunk mean? It's good to remember it and understand your powerlessness, but that won't keep you from drinking again. It'll help me remember my powerlessness over alcohol and my brokenness as a human being, so that I'll want to seek God and do the deal. So it's not a bad thing if it says, remember your last drink so you won't drink, we can't remember that. Why? Because did anybody swear they weren't going to drink and then drink that day? Am I the only one? And so when you went to drink, you didn't say, now give me a bottle, but you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but give me the bottle. Anybody say that? No. Here's another good one. I choose not to drink today. I heard that a lot. And it says in the same paragraph on page 24, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Now, when people say, the one thing about all this thing we're going to read, these things, is I think it reflects a misunderstanding of what's wrong with me. I think it's a misunderstanding of what our problem is, because my problem is complete powerlessness. I don't have a power to choose today. And I heard a speaker say it really well. I choose, the only choice I have today is to seek the power that gives me the choice. That's what AA is all about. Are we God seekers today? Then we'll have the power. I said I was recovered, people laughed. But recovered means that I'm seeking the power today. I have a power in my life so that I can use that power not to drink today. But of course that could disappear, right? But today I have that power. I've been seeking God. So I choose not to drink today is good. But if you feel like you're making the choice and you're proud of it, then you're taking control again, right? You've got power now. So if I choose not to drink, and I've gone a month, I haven't drank for a month, well, I don't need to go to meetings every day. I certainly don't need to do a four-step, whatever that is. you know, I went 60 days and chose not to drink, so I can drink today because I can quit any time. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, those are people who are really not here, and it's sad. Now, there's nothing bad about people that don't follow this versus good. It's just a disease. So these things that we're going to read, it's a misunderstanding of what our disease is. Play the tape all the way through. I love that. Play it through. So you're gonna take a tape of I don't know what, and you're gonna play it all the way through. So you're gonna. I think what they're trying to get at is, well, look what happened the last time you drank, right? It was a mess. Well, you'll play the tape all the way through, and then you'll forget it an hour later. It says the almost certain consequences, page 24 again, that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. Remember Jim said he felt a little bit uneasy when he ordered whiskey with milk? He felt a little bit uneasy. It was maybe not the best idea, but he drank it anyway, didn't he? If these thoughts do occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There's the complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. I don't have the power to not do what I don't want to do. So play the tape all the way through is good if it inspires you to go to a meeting and to get a sponsor and work the steps. And if you keep playing the tape through and remember your last drink and you're powerless and that you have no choice to drink, then you'll keep doing the deal, right? So none of this is really bad. It's the misunderstanding of what it means for some people. And here's the best one. Think through the drink. I wrote, with what? What are you going to think it through with? Your alcoholic mind. Think through the pill. Think through the shot, whatever it is. And then the other thing about playing the tape all the way through is, who's playing the tape? Me. And where does the problem center? In my mind. Anything I'm playing or anything I'm thinking can be dangerous. Think through the drink. Well, was it that bad, right? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then really, what are you thinking through the drink? I just can't wait to get it. Drive faster. Because when you're thinking through the drink, it's because you feel like it's going to fix your problem. But if you think through the drink and you understand your powerlessness, you see, if you see it as an example of my powerlessness, it'll inspire me to seek God, call someone, take the action of the steps. So all these things with God can be good. But without God, they if it's left with your own mind, it's not going to work. It says once more, at certain times, the alcoholic, it doesn't say, as Brian likes to mention, it doesn't say the drinking alcoholic. Yeah, because the drinking alcoholic is already drunk. The alcoholic, it doesn't say the alcoholic with 30 days. It says the alcoholic, that means us, everybody in this room, at certain times, has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Now, no effective mental defense is bad. That means you have no power in your mind to not do what you don't want to do. And except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come through the higher power. So if you think through the drink, then you're going to want to seek God. But you can't think it through it with your mind. Your mind. I will always be recovering, never recovered. Is your condition of mind and body hopeless today? If it's not, then you're recovered. If your mind and body is in a hopeless condition today, you're not recovered. Now, we have a daily reprieve based upon being in fit spiritual condition. So recovered is not something to brag about. It's something to state what you're doing today. And so, but a lot of people make a big deal. I'm not recovering. I'm recovered. And you don't know what you're doing. Well, it's not a big deal. you can make it a big deal. But why do they say that? Because Alcoholics Anonymous, it says we're recovered from alcoholism in the book. Why? Because it says we had a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. Seemingly hopeless, it's not hopeless today. I don't feel hopeless today. Isn't that great? Did anybody remember when you were hopeless? That's bad. So the point is, you don't want to be staying in this hopeless condition. You want to get recovered where you have some power in your life so your condition isn't hopeless. It says, the reference is the book, page 20, doubtless you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And then the next sentence says, that's why we wrote the book, so we can tell you exactly what we did so you can do it. So if you're working the steps seriously, if you're working with others, then you've recovered. Forward to the first edition. We of Alcoholics are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Then I wrote here in the side, recovered to me is a reflection of my spiritual condition today. What is my spiritual condition today? Am I trying to maintain a fit spiritual condition? Then I'm recovered. If I haven't thought about God or prayer or meditated, I'm stewing about the coronavirus. People are giving me a lot of crap about the coronavirus. I have no idea how bad it's going to be, but last Sunday I did mention how I sat in my chair and decided that the coronavirus was going to spread throughout the world and that the stock market would crash, which it did, and that I would be homeless and without money. That took about a minute. Then I prayed to God. I said, God, remove my fear and direct attention to how I should be. And God said, go to the meeting tonight and be on time. And the market crashed. I didn't care. It'll go back up. The coronavirus is going to be bad, but I don't know how bad. The news is overplaying it. It's an infection. It's like the flu. Some people get sick, some won't. There you go. So fear is only how we see things. And it says, further on, clear-cut directions. Am I the only person that has fear, some crazy fear sometime? I'm the only one? Yeah. Well, I'm not, because the market crashed because everybody was afraid. And then people are going to run to the food stores and all this. All right, stop, Mark. We have recovered and been given the power to help others. And then I did the recovered promises on Wednesday night, and I they're on the site now. Experiencethebigbook.org. That's paragraphs on page 84 and 85. We have recovered. We recoil from a hot flame. We're not fighting everybody and everyone. We have a place in the position of neutrality. So are you in a position of neutrality today with alcohol? Do you feel like you have to hide from it, that you can't see it? Does it have power over you today in your mind, or are you fighting it? Then the next one is, I don't have an alcohol problem, I have a living problem. Well, I think that's clear, they say. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. But really, I do have a living problem, and it's my living problem that makes me want to have a drink. Anybody else have that? So the question is, when does the disease of alcoholism occur? A lot of people come to AA and they don't know that. It occurs when you're sober. When you're sober without God, living a self-centered life, alcohol becomes a solution. It has power over you in your mind. But you have to understand the physical factor, that if you put it in your body, you will drink more than one. Anybody else have that? When people think about drinking, do you ever think of just having one drink? I don't.
All the time.
Really? Okay. All right. Yeah, Mark and Jeremy, they're fit. All right, stop it. A lot of people don't understand what the allergy to alcohol is when they come in here. And they think that their alcoholism is because they drink, which is a manifestation of the disease. One of my thoughts is, unless you really know what your problem is, you can't seek the solution. And I think that's why the big book's so important. It outlines our problem and what we need and how the solution of it is presented. Don't drink and go to meetings. I love this one. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? The problem is when people use that as the solution. Just don't drink and go to meetings. I've heard that. You tell them, just go to meetings. Well, sure, you should go to meetings. Why? Because you want to be with people who are seeking the solution. But it says, many of us felt we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This baffling feature of alcoholism, as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or wish. Anybody have that? Baffling. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends the extent to which he has already lost the power of the choice. So if you don't drink and go to meetings and you don't have a power to choose not to drink, what's going to happen? Eventually, you'll drink. So don't drink and go to meetings. It's good, but it has to be followed by the practice of the solution. And that's where the next reference comes. It talks about the ship's passengers on page 17 that are shipwrecked, and they come together and they hold hands and they're singing Kumbaya and they've survived. Well, we're shipwrecked passengers and we're all here together. We survived the thing. But it says in the big book that won't hold us together. Just being alcoholics and having fellowship won't hold us together. What binds us is the solution, the way out on which we all agree. So don't drink and go to meetings is fine as long as it's not the message to someone who has a hopeless condition of mind and body. They need more than that. They need to find a spiritual basis of life. And it says in the big book, or else, remember? And so we have to let them know that. So that's why these sayings by themselves are not good or bad, but if it's the message you're giving, it's the only message, it can be misunderstood. Here's one of my favorites. This is a selfish program. Now, I don't know where that got started. It's not in the big book. It says, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help their needs. And there are people in this room who mention all the time, we have to resolutely turn our thoughts to those we can help. When all else fails, we work with another alcoholic, right? Mm-hmm. Selfishness is my problem. I don't know what a selfish program means, but you can all comment. We're going to open it up, and people can blabber away about what they think of these things. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. Remember that? Foundation stone of your recovery, helping others. I kindly act once in a while isn't, and the other thing is, I have a problem deciding what's good or bad for me. Anybody else have that? So when I decide that it's a selfish program and I'm going to decide how my program should be, then that's dangerous. I need help. I need to talk to someone. I need to discuss it. They talk about a kindly act and once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day. And they talk about how you may have all this inconvenience. And here's, for if an alcoholic, page 14 and 15, fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. And I really liked what Corey said the other night. How do you know when you're selfish, when you think something's inconvenient? I love it. I had that arise today. I was asked something. I said, well, that sounds inconvenient. So I said, sure, honey. No problem. No problem. Well, you know, it is what it is, right? Who decides it's inconvenient? We do. Why? Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble. It is. And our troubles are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, page 62. And we're an extreme example of self-will-run riot. Now, I think there are a lot of self-will-run riots, and I see a lot of them. But we are an extreme example, and that may be why God gave us these spiritual principles, because we would be broken enough that we would want to do it. Because we have a spiritual illness, and if we practice the spiritual principles, and how do you know that you're practicing this when it leads someone who's not an alcoholic to practice spiritual principles? Here's another one, above everything. Now, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. Why? We must, or it kills us. It kills me. It kills me spiritually, and it kills me from being of any service to me or anybody else, and it blocks my relationship with God. Here's a real good one. I heard this one, and I repeated it because I heard it years ago. It sounded so good. Meeting makers make it. Now, that's probably true. You go to a lot of meetings, and you keep doing the steps, and you're working the program. I could see it makes sense, right? You have a sponsor. You're helping others. But just saying meeters make it, I wrote, what do they make? Coffee. But you see, I'm not being sarcastic. Because meeting makers, it's important to go to meetings. But if the message to the new person is meeting makers make it, then they're being told that they don't have a spiritual illness that requires a relationship with God. They're told that if they come here and they keep going to the meetings, their life's going to get better. Now, and I don't know, that may be true. It's not true for me. Tom described it well, how he's had a spiritual awakening. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I wrote, I'm powerless to change them to how I think they or things should be. Anybody else want to change people, places, or things? Well, that's what the Serenity Prayer is all about, right? What do I have to accept? What do I have to change? But here they're talking about, I do have some power. I've recovered. I've been given the power to help others. People are very concerned about sponsoring. I hear that a lot. I'm going to screw them up. I won't do it well enough. Well, they're alcoholics. They're dying. Don't worry about that. Do the best you can. But you have power. I believe if you ask God to help you, he'll give you the power to help someone else. And it's a way of actually working the steps and practicing the principles. And so if you ask God for the power, will you get it? Of course. Now, they use the example of the alcoholic is like a tornado, you know, roaring its way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. I guess that means that we have a lot of power to ruin people. We have a lot of power to harm people. Anybody agree with that? And here's that you can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. And the reason I think a powerless over people, places, things doesn't make sense is because it says we will not regret the past or shut the door in it. And the big book is a testimony of how they had a power in their lives that could help me. And so that we can have power to help people. We can't change things, though. And I think that's what they're talking about. Here's a good one. You're in the right place. I wrote, before we read what they said, it depends what your problem is or what you think your problem is. I think the most fundamental error is that alcoholics make is they don't know what's wrong with them. So they don't know what the solution is. And so it says then we have a certain type of hard drinker. You know, there's some people who are not alcoholics. And if they are given sufficient reason, they'll quit. Joe and Charlie joke about that these are the people who love AA because they don't have to work the steps and they just quit and they love it. That may be true. If anyone is showing an inability to control his drinking, do the right about face, a drink like his gentleman, our hats are off to him. So I think what they're getting at is if you're in the right place, if you have the right disease, if you have the spiritual malady, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. But I think you're in the right place here if you have a spiritual illness and you want to find God, the big book will work, won't it? So I don't know that that's really a bad thing. At all. It just depends what you need. Now, if you're schizophrenic and you're hearing voices, which some people do, this is probably not the program for you. And some people have serious mental illnesses and they need additional help. Then they're talking about, really, they're making the point, are you a real alcoholic? And that's a difference than when you're in the right place. But you have to, I think what they're getting at is that you have to know what makes you an alcoholic when you come here. You have to understand the allergy, the obsession of the mind, the spiritual illness, if you're going to seek the solution. If an alcoholic wants to get sober, nothing you say can make him drink. I don't know that I've heard that much. Anybody else heard that one? If an alcoholic wants to sober, nothing you can say can make him drink. I wrote, if an alcoholic wants to get sober, I wrote, just wanting to get sober doesn't give him power. Just wanting to get sober is not enough, but it's a good beginning. I don't think that I can make anybody drink. Do you think you have the power to make anybody drink? No, they may blame you, but I don't think I have the power to make anybody drink. And so, I don't know about that one. We must change playmates, playgrounds, and plays things. So I wrote, don't do a crack, go to a crack house to watch football game. Or, you know, I don't know. I've never been to a crack house. I don't even know what it is. But it came to mind. I was watching Narcos. So that's where I got it from. I was watching Narcos Mexico. Mark knows what I'm talking about. But it says, here's the deal. That may be true. But if you can't be certain places, you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. That's the important thing. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we could do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. When people hear you're an alcoholic, a lot of times they hide their drinks, or they ask if it's okay to order wine or something like that. Like, it's going to jump out at me, and just, they don't understand their disease. They're trying to be nice. It says we must not go where liquor serves. They're trying to be considerate. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid movie pictures showing drinking scenes where you couldn't watch an NFL game. We must not go in the bars, or friends must hide their bottles, blah, blah, blah. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily slow. Now, here's a key line. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There's something the matter with his spiritual status. That's very important. And that's what I mean by recovered. Can you be around alcohol? Can you be around people? Do you feel like you have to run away from it? Or do you feel safe and protected, that you have God? It's not something that's important in your life. I'll read one more. I'm a people pleaser, which is really true of me. I need to learn to take care of myself. It says he's not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind. I can't learn. I need to unlearn how to take care of myself. I don't know how to take care of myself when I came here. I did the best I could, but I ran my life. I need to fire myself. That's what I need. And don't we talk about unlearning, getting rid of old ideas, everything we think we know, uncovering, discovering, discarding all that isn't God in me? So, and then Joe and Charlie make the point that we never did anything good for anybody, that we didn't want something in return unless we did it by mistake, if you think about that. Self-seekers, when even always trying to get something for ourselves. So we'll stop there. Was this any good? Yeah. Do you want to do it next week? Yeah. All right, now everybody on the podcast, I want you to hear this. Are you going to bring your handouts back?
Yeah.
All right. They never will. All right. Thank you. Bye.